And it's that time again on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. Bathrobe Spears Broadsides is going to be rocking your way. 2 hours, 6 to 8, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. I'm your host, the old man in the bathrobe, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse. Don't leave, stay with us, have a phone ready. Whip out your 35 cents if you're on the streets. Who needs to eat? Give a call. The Bathrobe Spears Broadsides at 427-3772. We take all calls, even calls from city council members. Stay warm and not get burned up. As for you folks who are out there sleeping outside tonight, you know, fires are illegal, as are sleeping, blankets, tents, hoisting up a structure on a public property, being in a park after dark, being on the river after dark. In fact, just being in a somnolent state after 11 o'clock is grounds for a $162 ticket in Santa Cruz. So watch out, everybody. That's the bad news. The good news, if it is good news and really news, not just the mythology of the moment, is that City Council on Tuesday supposedly took some action to rein in the police force, direct the police to ticket essentially on complaint and only after warning people. The actual language that was used there was, direct that whenever reasonable and practicable warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Also, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizen complaints. Actually, that sounds like pretty weaselly wording to me, I got to tell you. It doesn't say ticket only on complaint. It says emphasize citizens' complaints. And it doesn't say warn under all circumstances, as for instance is required by the law, before you give a ticket for sitting down on the sidewalk. Another of the brilliant mind brainstorms of Mike Rotkin and Cynthia Matthews and the previous council, including Catherine Byers, by the way, who voted for the current law as it stands, the sitting ban. She didn't vote for the original sitting ban, but I believe she voted for the amended sitting ban. Because, after all, those merchants need to make sure that people are not sitting anywhere near their stores or within 50 feet of an Instateller if we are to maintain civilization in Santa Cruz. Well, hopefully those laws are going to be dumped over the next year. Not because the City Council is all ready to do it, but because we have some people who have joined the City Council who I think would like to do that. And if the people lead, as they put it, the leaders will follow. And that really is our job now, to lead this city council where it's got to go in terms of just getting back to ground zero, restoring basic civil rights, not to mention moving on to a more productive, creative, life-enhancing, life-affirming society in Santa Cruz, which, of course, is where we really want to go, and hopefully where we're going to go with the cooperation and hopefully with the assistance of the new city council. I'm not terribly excited about the city council. You probably, if you've been tuned to this station earlier today during the, actually, it was yesterday during the show of the V-Man. I think it was yesterday that Vinny had his show. Boy, maybe people can call in and correct me, but V-Man kind of covered the Tuesday city council meeting, at least the debate section, did some serious analysis, and I kind of joined him on his show, and we talked about a few things like, and we're going to talk about them again briefly, but I'm going to try not to hammer them home too much, simply get to, because many of you folks may have heard them on other shows. And Steve Argue did a very kind of thorough look at the city council meeting, and looking forward to his upcoming demonstration on Saturday. Steve was the man who was arrested, dragged to the ground, dragged along the ground, injured, his papers stolen, his liberty seized. He was thrown into jail for 3 or 4 days and given felony charges and misdemeanor charges, all for selling Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper, charges which all disappeared mysteriously on Monday morning. And he didn't really get an apology. He just got dumped out on the street. It's sort of the Santa Cruz way, or is it the police state way, or whatever way it is, that's the way he got it. And he's got a demonstration coming up on Saturday to protest police repression of free speech in Santa Cruz. That'll be on December 12th. Make sure I have that right. Yeah, December 12th, Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific and River Streets. That's at the end of the Pacific Mall at the town clock, Santa Cruz Clock Tower. And again, to remind everybody, he's got a great little flyer out on this. On November 13th, Steve Argue was brutally tackled and jailed in front of over 30 eyewitnesses by the Santa Cruz police for distributing the alternate paper Street Spirit. Street Spirit raises issues against police misconduct for the rights of the homeless and against the expansion of the beach boardwalk, among other things. Despite the fact that Steve Argue had broken no law, he was held for 3 days in jail on $5,000 bail, facing all kinds of mistreatment until the charges against him were finally dropped at 2 p.m. Monday, and he was released. The day Steve Argue was arrested, two photos of him were prominently displayed in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, standing beside newly elected city council members Christopher Crone and Keith Sugar, who are protesting with 50 other people the police murder of homeless activist Happy John Dine. Despite the claims of the police, the DA, Citizens Police Review Board, and corporate media, all independent eyewitnesses confirmed that John Dine was holding no toy gun in his hand at the time he was murdered by the Santa Cruz PD officer Connor Carey. Argue's arrest could have been in retaliation for his activism on the slaying of Happy John Dine, or it could be part of a pattern of police attempts to suppress Street Spirit in Santa Cruz, or both, or it just might be Garner's incredible arrogance. That's the officer who arrested him and assaulted him, took him to jail. In September, another vendor of Street Spirit, Anthony Douglas, had his papers confiscated by the SCPD, and he was issued a citation. This citation was later dropped, and an apology issued by Police Chief Steve Belcher. However, the Park Patrol and police have issued since other illegal citations to other vendors. Frank Ross, whose trial is coming up, I believe it's the 13th and the 14th, although, again, I have to look at calendars. I guess it wouldn't be the 13th, because 13th is a Sunday. In fact, I think he has a court date tomorrow, and I'm going to have to check on that hopefully before the end of the show. That's Frank Ross, ticketed by the Parks and Rec and by the California Highway Patrol for criminal newspaper vending. Yes, can you dig it? Pretty weird stuff. You want to protest this kind of abusive behavior, as well as protest police brutality and end laws making it illegal for the homeless to sleep, meet at the Santa Cruz Clock Tower at 4 p.m. Saturday, December 12th. If you come at 3, you'll catch the protest on behalf of a retrial and a fair trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is currently on death row.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, what's up, loser? It's Merlin.
Hey, this sounds like Uncle Merlin to me. You're on the air, Merlin.
Hey, you know what? You're talking about these laws that are being reversed?
We are talking about the crazy sleeping ban, which we hope will be reversed, and the city council is making some noises in that direction, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty unusual when they reverse laws, isn't it?
Well, they haven't yet reversed the laws. They're talking about reversing them.
They're talking about it? Then what, they got to do, vote on it or something?
They got to propose it, and then they got to vote on it. We actually hope that they would reverse the sleeping ban and the blanket ban in time for winter so everybody could freeze to death out there without getting tickets as well, but that hasn't happened.
Hey, hold on. Hans wants to say something. Hans, go over here.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I just was wondering, sir, would this, increase the the people living on the streets are? Like, people, would they migrate here?
Well, now, that, of course, is the claim that some conservatives
is that what they're saying?
Well, that's what Rotkin has been saying in the past, who's a council member, and he's been on the council for 20 years, and he's sort of the diehard conservative now on the board. It's, in fact, not true.
I don't see how, people that are, have to live the living on the street would actually, what they're going to, movings cost to anyone.
It's not such a thrilling enticement to have people come here in winter to live on the streets. The fact is, in fact, when Fort Lauderdale had its anti-homeless sleeping ban removed in 1992 under the Pottinger decision, and it became illegal to arrest homeless people for sleeping unless there were other legal places, which there usually weren't, that there were not massive migrations of people. And then we're talking about Florida, which is much better weather than Santa Cruz much of the time.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So it certainly didn't happen in Florida, in Santa Barbara, when the sleeping ban was reversed there for a period of years, 1986, 87, and 88. I have reports from writer Peter Marin that there was no vast migration of people down there. Marin is quite an articulate he's a principled person. He has a point of view, but yeah, plus social service providers were quite clear that there was no huge influx of people.
Yeah, with the $12 million you're spending on the new police station, you think they could develop a campground or something for the homeless, with maybe shower facilities and things like that might actually, help the people instead of, saying, oh, sorry, you're screwed,
Instead of shooting them, yeah. Well, of course, we, at the last city council meeting, I tried to bring up the fact that there's $130,000 for police computers and $110,000 for police furniture. I just asked that those two appropriations be cut in half, with half the money to go for a car park, opening up a parking structure at night that already exists, that has a restroom that people could park their vehicles in already, so they could get some safety and have them access to a bathroom, like the Locust Street Garage or the other places downtown that have parking structures. And, of course, the city council, including our great new liberal council members, Crone, Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and Byers, all said, no way, just swept forward to give the police everything they wanted. And then, secondly...
what's crazy is there was the police and stuff. I never realized there was a need for a new jail in Santa Cruz County.
No, jail is, it's kind of like a growing business. They used to say war. It's a growing business. Invest your son. Now it seems that jail is a growing business.
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of investing in a generation, they'd rather arrest a generation.
The drug war is, presented prison entrepreneurs, prison guards, law enforcement folks, probation officials, construction of folks with all kinds of wonderful new opportunities here.
Yeah, as long as they have, and then that just means that the crimes that they'll arrest you for are just getting more petty and more petty, it seems to me at least. I've talked to you before about being arrested on a bicycle.
Victimless crimes we're talking about.
Yes, victimless. You're not hurting anyone.
It's a way of directing attention away from real life-threatening situations that we're all beginning to suffer more and more. If it's not a polluted environment, we're talking about evictions, we're talking about wages that have no relationship to rents, so people can't even consider renting a place unless you're taking two or three jobs.
I'm very fortunate that I'm in a house where it's a big house, so
the police
rent's cut low, or fairly low. When the rain kicks in, I work in construction myself. When the rain kicks in, I don't work myself as much, and it's hard. And I have a good deal on rent, which is, this town is. I grew up here, and all the locals that I know, we're all locals, but no one can afford to live here. It seems, the property ownership here is just a pipe dream, I believe.
Well, so what kind of, you're a construction worker, you said?
Yes.
And how often are you working as a construction worker?
Mine's dependent on Mother Nature, whether I work or not, whether it rains or not. More in the summer. We've been busy. There's plenty of work in town, that's for sure, but it's just being able to do it.
Have you suffered yourself under these crazy sleeping, camping, blanket bans?
Fortunately for myself, I haven't, but,
You have friends who have?
Yes, and,
Really?
Well, you know, a friend, old fellow DJ, perhaps, Audio, you know, he's, I don't know what happened to him.
He's
had to move his, he was at a place and he had to move there, and I just think, you know, holiday times, like, oh, brought him not in his shoes for, you know, but I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's indoors, I understand, in a motel.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, then he's got something good then somehow.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, to be on the street, especially this time of year, you know, the holidays is terrible.
And, oh, you're right. No question about it, man.
And, you know, I urge everyone, you know, just, you know, donate. You know, you don't have to donate money or anything. Just blankets, things like that, coats, things like that people could use, you know, to make, you know, the unbearable bearable, I guess.
Right. Well,
but,
that's...
Merlin would like to talk to you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Certainly, thank you.
Then you get these guys on the radio and they take your phone away, they take your time away. What's up with this?
I don't know, Merlin. You know, these talk show hosts, they sometimes get shoved off and drowned out and everything.
Hey, what I want to say was, Hans is bringing up a couple of good points here. You know, we got these people like Bill Gates donating $107 million to have kids vaccinated around the world, and got all the money from Americans. And look at, who's this other guy? Who am I thinking of? You know, he owns his own network. What's his name?
Ted Turner.
Ted Turner. Yeah, he just gave $1 billion to it was about a year ago. $1 billion to the United Nations. Hey, you know where you got that money from? American people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's up with these fools? Why don't they give the money back to the Americans? What do they think? My mom's on Social Security making a little bit over $600 a month. She just got a paper today from the Social Security office saying she got a raise of $5 a year.
No, it's interesting. I was talking to a welfare mother and wondering where all the other welfare mothers went. She told me that welfare has, you know, not gone up at all since 1984 when she got on welfare, and she's still bringing up her children. But her rent has actually gone up by a factor of 4. It's 4 times as expensive as it was to live in a house now that it was in Santa Cruz in 1984.
Yeah, you know, it's just incredible. You know, another thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, we're talking about even laws being reversed, and I don't remember, I personally didn't vote on the drinking ban at the beaches, and as far as I understand, the Live Oak Beach, the supervisor, I think it was Rumbrandt, represents Live Oak, she voted against that drinking ban on that beach because we, you know, the locals have always taken care of it, and they basically wanted that because of the losers that go down to the Santa Cruz Beach boardwalk and make a big stink over there and throw their beer cans around and shit and all that. And if the Santa Cruz Beach boardwalk has so much fucking money, why don't they police it themselves as security guards and pick up their own shit? Why do they have to fuck it up for everybody's beach?
Well, you know, I think that whereas most people can go to a place and drink inside if they're adults, people who are homeless, who are outside, suddenly are being treated like children. They're not allowed to drink at all, even if they're not, you know, drunk or causing problems or disorderly conduct.
Yeah, no, that's another thing. Another, like, what do you call victimless crime?
Yeah, I would say that.
You know,
let me move you along, Merlin, because I got some other stuff I got to do, but is there something you want to conclude with?
No, I would just hope people are listening and keep up the good work, especially to Chrissy, and I was listening to C-Line. There was a good show.
All right.
You know, a couple of new DJs. You know, I think that what we're doing is victimless too. You know, I think we are serving the community at 96.3.
Oh, we're not doing any crimes at all. What we're doing is the opposite of criminal.
Yeah, and I don't like the public persecution
service
from certain individuals, or the harassment was what I would call it.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, I don't know. Sum it up with a, you know.
Well, listen, thank you, Merlin.
Just, goodbye.
All right, man.
All right.
And that was another one of our many DJs, this time in the role of a person calling in. You can call in, too. 427-3772 is the call-in number here at 96.3 FM Free Radio. My subject is civil rights. Civil rights on the streets. Civil rights for poor people wherever they happen to be, wherever you happen to be. And hopefully you'll happen to be on the air if you can get to a phone at 427-3772 to talk about how the winter weather is affecting you, how the police have been treating you lately, how the business has been treating you. I don't want to hear any false bullshit sob stories. I want to hear some real facts. If people have been treating you well, let's hear about that. If you've been getting a fair shake, let's hear about that too. Let's get a real sense of what's going on in the community. And that really is what the city council needs. And they really got that in a sense. They got a wake-up call on Tuesday night. They got a call from the community about about what their laws were doing, specifically the sleeping ban, the blanket ban, the camping ban. There were, I'm told, 40 speakers. I didn't count them, but there certainly was one after another. I recorded them on this rather pathetic little tape recorder. You're going to hear some of those tapes pretty soon. But I know that not one individual spoke in favor of retaining this crazy Santa Cruz 6.36.010 law that makes it illegal for you to sleep after 11 o'clock at night from 11 to 8:30 if you're in a vehicle or if you're outside or if you're even on your own property, even actually in a structure, but if the structure is not intended for a domicile, like if you're in a restaurant, that's illegal to fall asleep after 11. So, hey, the council, as I said, it got a blast of reality from the community. And one would have thought that they would have acted on that blast of reality, that they would have taken action as they had the votes to do, 4-3, to insist once and for all that the police rein in this bullshit throughout the winter, the police stop arresting people, stop taking their vehicles, stop threatening them, stop giving them $162 tickets, stop telling them to move along when there's no place to move to. But unfortunately, the council didn't do that. What the council did, unfortunately, was far less. It kind of came forward this program that Catherine Byers came on with. She initially was not going to put any of these items on the agenda, but apparently she was able to clear it with the merchants and the police, or satisfy herself that it was okay. She didn't talk to any of the homeless activists in terms of getting together the points that she finally brought to city council. But the points that she brought forward, which some of you may remember, essentially were just talks for reports and surveys and requests for staff to give her more information. But there was not a word about really expanding any kind of shelter or any kind of housing or any kind of the right of homeless people to establish their own shelters, or houseless people in vans to be able to legally sleep in their own vans this winter, or to give them some support, for God's sake. Maybe some access to electricity, maybe some access to water, maybe some access to a safe parking place or structure. None of that, apparently, Catherine Byers felt was necessary. She was the one who made up these points. She's been on the council for 10 years. This actually is going into her 10th year. Count them, boys, 10. She is the longest continuous council member on the council now. It's an amazing thing that after that period of time, knowing the kind of weather we have, having seen the figures from Paul Brindell of the Shelter Project, from Sandy Brown of the Community Action Board, these people are paid by the city and the county to investigate and find out, is there enough shelter for people? Now, they've known for years, of course, that there isn't. But these guys, these folks came in with a report that the city unanimously agreed to, the city council, that's the old conservative city council, mind you, Kennedy, Campbell, all those people who wanted to turn the beach boardwalk into a Canfield playground, you know, those folks, the ones who got voted out, voted down, actually they didn't get voted out, but their new surrogates, their new proxies, their new pals got voted out. Instead, we got these progressives in. Well, even those old conservatives, you know, said, hey, we admit it, there's a vast shelter crisis. There's an emergency shelter crisis. So what did our city council do? They did say, right, let's open up a public building, maybe like Paris opens up the metro in the winter. You know, let's get together some sort of area where people can park their vehicles legally, like in Eugene or San Francisco is planning to do, has supposedly been planning for 2 years under whitewash Willie Brown, unfortunately, who's going in the other direction with people in the parks, but has supposedly been in negotiations with van dwellers to open up van areas. You know, did she do this? Did she say, okay, let's open up a careful monitored campground like she supported in 1990, like supposedly she supported in 94 and 95, and then, of course, she became one of this Rotkin-supporting clan that closed down the Coral Street open-air shelter and essentially produced deaths among the homeless community. And there's no other way to describe it. The closure of that Coral Street open-air shelter, which was turned into a barren piece of ground for a year and a half so the Citizens Committee could play their funding games, incompetent and inept as they were and are, they're actually no longer exist except as a slip of paper in Karen Gillette's pocket. She's having purged the board of all the people that were critics of hers on the Citizens Committee. But the Citizens Committee was
you know, they ran this campground miserably. We agree, but it was real. It provided a community place. It provided a place for people to keep their stuff during the day, where people could work, keep their pets. It was better than what followed. And instead of anything around those lines, like a campground or a car park or an open building or, I don't know, permits for people to park their vehicles and sleep overnight because of the acknowledged shelter emergency. Byers would have nothing to do with this. Byers, the liberal mayor, Byers, the endless liberal, wouldn't do any of this for our winter. Instead, all she would do is say, we'll talk about the camping ban in February, and we'll tell the police to do what they always do, which is enforce the sleeping and camping bans supposedly on complaint and supposedly using warnings first. Again, I don't know what you're going to do when you warn people when there's no place for them to go. What are you going to say? Head north? Thank you very much. Go west? Right. So that's what we had on the city council agenda. And we had people almost with one voice speaking again and again and saying, you've got to do something this session now. And they weren't even talking about shelter. They were talking about saying, let people be criminals, for God's sake, who are just trying to survive by sleeping. Not breaking into people's houses to use their beds. Not breaking into people's barns to grab a little straw to cover themselves. Not even, kind of hiding under the eaves on private property and trespassing. No, no, none of that was acceptable. Nobody justified that kind of life-sustaining behavior. No. Rather, just using public property in out-of-the-way places to try to get a little sleep at night. Well, the city council just couldn't see that, couldn't kind of grope and grasp and grok that concept. They just didn't quite make it, you know. So what we had was the city council saying that the police will do what they always do, which is run around and say they ticket on complaint and say they ticket after warnings, but actually they ticket whenever they feel like it. And they ticket based really upon their own notions. And it's not just the police we're talking about. All these other law enforcement agencies like Parks and Rec Rangers, who apparently issue a significant portion of these tickets. And UCSC police, there's a sleeping ban on the UC campus. And California Highway Patrol. There was a California Highway Patrol officer that gave a newspaper vending ticket based on our city code. Inappropriately based on the city code. It wasn't apt. There's no law against vending papers, generally speaking. To Frank Ross, who goes to court, as I said, early next week or tomorrow, and I'm going to have to find out when that is. Hopefully we'll do that during a musical break. And there was a lot of talk at the city council from the audience, and I think we should really, out of appreciation for the people who spoke there, let's begin to listen to some of that. I'm going to apologize in advance. This is not better edited and better put together. We're just going to kind of delve in and almost at random in some of the conversations and some of these speeches. Weren't conversations, these were just speeches, the city council. I want you to notice a couple more things. I want you to notice that Catherine Byers, the mayor, Mayor Byers, our great liberal, our great savior, did not allow people opportunity to finish their statements. She did what Celia Scott would never do. She cut people off repeatedly, and she set up a whole structure where it became clear that she didn't really care what people had to say. She wanted to give the appearance of everyone getting a chance to speak. So she kind of mathematically divided the time up and gave everybody 2 minutes instead of saying, well, you got a lot of people who are going to speak. Well, we're going to have an extended session here. This issue has never been discussed in 20 years. It's time to do some talking. We're in the middle of winter. We're in the middle of a shelter emergency. What better time to talk than now? No, none of that did she say, none of that did she allow. Instead, this woman whose candidates, she has three candidates she supported, Fitzmaurice, Cronin, Sugar, were elected on the basis of the idea that there should be real public input. She turned this notion on its head, and she didn't allow public input beyond the 2 minutes, and then she paid no attention to the public input, and it didn't affect any of the debate from her side that happened afterward. And additionally, she used the excuse of wanting more public input to refuse to restore human rights for the winter, while people are waiting for the longer debate on the camping ban. The camping ban is a subject that has to be discussed, in which many constituencies have to be heard from. This is the line of conservatives and some liberals. You know, you want to get a broad consensus among the business community and the merchants and the residents so everybody understands. You want to allay all the fears. While you're doing that, however, you don't want people to be dying on you or suffering or miserable. At least I don't. I mean, I don't want to see that particularly. And I would hope that the council would feel the same way, but no. So there was no decision at that city council and no effort from Catherine Byers to either provide any more shelter for people than already exists, even though 80% of the homeless population is unsheltered and wants shelter, or at least the right to use their own shelters, whether those be tents, whether those be vehicles. She wouldn't allow that. And when other people brought it up, like Keith Sugar did, to his credit, and Chris Crone did, to his credit, although again, Crone somewhat timidly, Sugar somewhat incompetently, and I don't say this with any malice, he's a freshman senator, a freshman council member, he doesn't know how to proceed yet, he made a lot of mistakes, and you know, he's going to make a number more, but he had the courage to proceed. He had the courage not to be backed down by Rotkin's rhetoric, not to be bamboozled by Barisoni's stonewalling, and not to, to placate Catherine Byers, who also kind of wanted to avoid the issue. She just wanted to say, well, you know, we have this little memo that I've written which says ticket on complaint and after a warning, if you feel like it, if it's reasonable, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was sort of a weakened statement like that. And she wanted to leave it at that, without any compliance mechanism to make sure that this actually was what the police were doing, without adding standards like health and safety. There should be no ticketing without a health and safety concern. She didn't want to add that. Like without adding a standard like lowest, make it lowest priority, she wouldn't add any statement of that sort. Without adding a standard like the Pottinger standard in Miami, which says a police officer shall not even contact a homeless person unless he or she, the police officer, has a place for that homeless person to go. You aren't even going to talk to that person on the street unless they're committing some other crime that is not what's called a life-sustaining misdemeanor. We're going to talk about that and the Pottinger decision settlement, a very important settlement later in the show. But none of that stuff seemed to permeate the city council. Even though they were told about it, that they knew that they had these options, they didn't have the courage or perhaps the experience to take them. And that was a real shame. And it was a real shame because the reason you can tell it's a real shame is just turn off your radio or just walk outside your door and just stand out there for about 20 seconds and see how you feel. See how you feel trying to hide from the police because it's illegal to sleep. Because believe me, it is still illegal to sleep. And it may even be illegal to do some debating because when I was coming back from the city council meeting, I was pulled over and I was given a ticket for taillight. And it's true, the taillight of the car I was driving was out. But the police are use that as an excuse to pull me over and ticket me. And even though, it's a fix-it ticket, but it's going to cost me $10. And imagine I get a $10 ticket, the homeless get $162 tickets, which take dozens of hours of community service, if you can pay the $100 community service fee to do. I mean, it's almost mind-numbing to keep repeating these details. But it is, in fact, the truth. But there's some other truths that are pleasant and amusing and depressing. Let's hear from Tom Paxton.
I go to my job every morning. I go to my job every day. My buddies and me, we're all plumbers, and we can't complain, for the job is okay. So there we are drinking our coffee and smoking the last cigarette. When in comes the foreman all red in the face, saying this is the hottest one yet. So Louis says, what's the big problem? What's got your dander up, Joe? Joey goes, look in the paper, my friend, it's there for the whole world to know. The president's gonna stop all of these drugs by testing us one at a time. So all of us lays down our tools on the floor and we busily start fighting crime. We're filling our bottle for Ronnie. We're filling it up to the brim. And we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling our bottle for Ronnie. And we'll never kick up our fuss. us, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us. The people who work in the White House, according to what I read here, are gonna be filling their own little bottles to make sure the message is clear. At cabinet meetings with Ronnie, they're gonna be taking a break. They'll call a recess at the Gipper's request, and they'll all have some wee-wee to make. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie, we're filling it up to the brim, and we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie, and we'll never kick up our bars, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us. They're gonna be testing our children, and you can be certain of that. They're gonna be testing our old maiden aunts, and they're gonna be testing our cats. They used to go looking for traitors who commonly hid under beds. Instead of them stumbling up all of this urine, they ought to try testing their heads. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie, we're filling it up to the brim, and we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie, and we'll never kick up our paws, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us, years and years, what Ronnie's been doing to us.
And that was one of my favorite guys from a decade ago, Tom Paxton, Politics. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie, and it's kind of strange. Now we got that Democratic guy about town, that man among the women, Bill Clinton, and we're filling five bottles for Clinton. It just looks like things have gotten just that much worse, even with our wonderful Democratic majority, Democratic Party majority. Well, let's jump into the December 8th meeting. Let's hear from the people at that meeting. This is the oral communications, actually not the oral communications period. This is item 31, the item which Catherine Byers called Issues Regarding Homelessness. And my analysis of that whole thing, we actually issued, Huff issued in a press release today. That was my analysis combined with that of some other people. But I took a very, very dim view of the whole proceeding, even though it has to be said that there was finally a motion that sleeping is a human right, but still illegal, mind you. A human right, but still illegal. And they're going to talk about camping in February, and in the meantime, there'll be no, that ticketing should be limited to complaints, sort of, and warnings, sort of, but no compliance mechanism. So there's a long way to go, even though these three things are not entirely useless, not entirely useless, but it's kind of, it's not even a gray area. It's what we call the inadequate area, inadequate, particularly because no extra shelter was even discussed. But let's hear a little of what was discussed, not by the council, but by the community.
Next item 31 are the issues regarding the homeless. There are a lot of issues and there are a lot of people. I am going to ask, as we open, I said earlier, I want to hear from all of you. I'm going to need a show of hands to count to find out how much time we're getting. I haven't asked yet. I'm going to, you can speak here. But as we move forward, the bus or shuttle to the Armory, a brief has to leave no later than 10 p.m. So those that are going to wish to go up to the Armory tonight, I'm going to ask that they get the first chance to speak. So we are sure to hear from everyone, and yet at the same time, they can have a warm and safe place to sleep tonight. So I think now I'll try to get a sense of how long this item is going to take. So could we have a show of hands how many speakers there are?
I want you to notice that Byers spoke about a very compassionate appearance. She wanted the folks who had to go up to the armory to be able to speak first, and certainly, you know, that's nice. However, she didn't ask for how many people in the audience would have no warm place to sleep. That would seem to me to be the most obvious question to pose to that crowd of people as well. And that question, for some strange reason, just never came up. She also then, after having her old friend Mike Rotkin count all the hands, she just decided, I think there were 25 or 30, ended up maybe being 40 speakers, she would allow 2 minutes a speaker. And you might say, well, you know, there's a lot of council business to take care of, last council of the year. But you have to ask yourself, particularly if the council is intending not to provide shelter for 80% of the people in Santa Cruz, not to change the laws that allow people to shelter themselves, not to set in firm safeguards so that police can't continue the same harassing policies they've been doing for 2 decades that have resulted in so much misery and property loss and essentially banishment of homeless people they don't like. If she's not going to change any of that, then certainly she should allow this real public dialogue, take in some real testimony so they can, she can chew on it. Instead, she allows 2 minutes per speaker and repeatedly cuts off people who are giving lots of good and important information. It's interesting. Not one speaker was drunk. There was a couple of abusive people who were sitting in the audience, although the real abusers were sitting in the council seats. And that abuse is continuing tonight because those people have the real power. They could be calling for a special session tonight, and they aren't doing that. And people are going to say to me, oh, you know, you're being unrealistic. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, they have to get a majority, yak, yak. Well, the fact is, even when they have a majority, they keep their mouths shut. Well, they have to get some experience. Well, maybe they need some experience outside freezing, and they'll learn that they're going to do it regardless. And the person who came closest to actually acting on anything was, to his credit, Keith Sugar. We're going to hopefully hear that at some point, though that dialogue was actually already played by the V-Man yesterday, where Sugar stood up for the rights, for just simple logic around the sleeping ban. He didn't even propose that the sleeping ban be annulled, because you can't really annul a law without a whole process, and Byers had rigged the agenda, so there was no ordinance on the agenda. There was no way to even begin to end the sleeping ban by the legal process at that meeting. She'd made sure of that, even though homeless advocates had begged her to put it on the agenda, to put it on the agenda December 1st. She refused. So what we had instead was this token process of homeless people being allowed to speak. And I have to say this, it was more than a token process because there were so many people there. It was, as I said, unanimous. Not just how miserable it is to sleep outside, not just how bad a law the sleeping ban and the blanket bans are, that make covering up with blankets after 11 and sleeping after 11 o'clock at night outside criminal in and of themselves, but that something had to be done that night. People took that position, and it was really an encouraging thing to hear, and there became a point at which one felt the tide was almost irresistible. Let's hear the beginnings of the oral communications, or of the item 31 public comment section, as people rushed to get their comments in, and Byers sliced off person after person in this discussion.
Mike, you're always in town. Would you help count here? How many people are going to speak?
I think everybody can speak.
There are people here for other reasons. Given that number, before I figure this out when I look at the calculation, I am, this is Karen Gillette over on the right, and she's going to be leaving, taking it to the Army shuttle, and we would like a show of hands how many think they might want to go on the shuttle tonight. Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks a lot. All right, now it looks like with all the number of speakers, we'll take 2 minutes each, and we'll ask those speakers who want to take two shuttles to come up first.
Now I want you to notice how that whole thing was rushed. She shortened what is customarily comment time of 3 minutes to 2 minutes And she kept shifting back to Karen Gillette and the shuttle and armory folks who have to go up to the armory and so forth. So again, her appearance of concern for people who have to go to the armory. When in fact, the armory shuttle, it just had to leave before 10. That was the only requirement. And probably could have left after 10, but it had what I was told by Karen Gillette was it had to leave at 10, or by 10. So we didn't have, she didn't even turn to her fellow council members, Crone and Sugar, who were sitting to her right and to her left, and ask, what do you think, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? No, she unilaterally decided 2 minutes a speaker. And here were the speeches.
Try to keep an eye out for all my brothers.
I want to hear from everybody. I won't take any staff time to or my time to interview.
Excuse me for interrupting. I have a little out of line, but
just wait till I finish my sentence.
Okay.
I'll turn right to you.
Okay.
I just will have to do 2 minutes, so everyone does get a chance to speak. We won't take any time with a staff report or my report. I put this on the agenda, other than I do want people to know that we did this somewhat quickly this week, and I have to thank the city manager who worked very hard with myself on outlining this agenda. I just wanted to say that, and we'll get right into it. So yes, I'll let you know.
With all due respect, I understand this thing to say, and I would like it if myself and my caregiver can do speak to
of course.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
So, at the
council,
there
are
questions
at
the time.
All right, okay, then let's start. Hear from the public, and I'll hear from you.
I'd like to wonder,
and then
the speakers want to get on the phone. I'd like to wonder, too, last minute Sugar returns, and I'll be respectful to him, too.
I need someone to start, because we're going to be really stressed for time. It's coming up.
Can you tell us what the
stuff
on the
internet
and
advise
people
what
that's about?
Yeah, I don't know the agenda. The subject is issues regarding homelessness.